Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I am James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. And let's just say, if I were him, I'd be very worried about that possibility. We have that mysterious story coming up, but also UK AI. But first, James, it's like Bill Hicks lives. LA burns to ground as Trump re-inaugurated. Good grief. How wokeism created the LA wildfire crisis. A paywalled article rescued for you by yours truly at pjmedia.com. If you haven't heard, the ongoing wildfire crisis in Los Angeles has left many screaming, climate change, but the truth is this ongoing tragedy can actually be blamed on wokeism. The devastating blazes, which have overwhelmed all the local firefighters, expose critical flaws in leadership decisions, particularly the emphasis on diversity, equity, and inclusion policies at the expense of, you know, doing your job and operational readiness, coupled with decades of mismanagement of the state's natural resources. Again, Boeing, you can list off a number of companies and places that have fallen victim to this. And unfortunately, again, it's the people that fall victim to it. The powers that shouldn't be will just keep cruising on. Los Angeles Fire Chief Kristen Crowley, celebrated as the first openly gay female leader of the department to burn down a major American city, spent her tenure more focused on DEI initiatives. Under her leadership, millions in taxpayer, theft payer funds funneled into a DEI bureau within the Los Angeles Fire Department. This included programs aimed at recruiting more women, more LGBTQ+ firefighters, even as the department faced a $16 million budget cut in 2024. Imagine prioritizing diversity over capability in a field as physically demanding as firefighting. When your life is on the line, do you care about the diversity boxes being checked? I mean, like they say, when there's a boot on your face forever, do you really care if it's Republican or Democrat? Most of us would choose, if given the chance, competence over quotas without hesitation, yet DEI policies like those adopted by the LAFD undermine the department's ability to respond effectively to emergencies like the current wildfire disaster, all in the name of, yes, that now overused word, wokeness. All the standards have been lowered. I mean, morbidly obese can be cops. Non-citizen gangbanger felons can join the U.S. military. I'll include the article. Army approves reduced physical fitness standards for women, other soldiers. Obviously, firefighting is one of the most physically demanding professions, requiring extraordinary strength, stamina, and the ability to endure grueling conditions. Yet DEI policies often sidestep these critical realities, prioritizing arbitrary demographic quotas over the practical need for highly capable personnel. This misguided approach erodes the merit-based recruitment process that ensures only the best qualified individuals are on the front lines during life-threatening crises. Even for those who champion diversity for diversity's sake, difficult to imagine anybody genuinely supporting this. Meanwhile, Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass faced backlash. She was on a taxpayer-funded trip to Ghana as the city burned, and her Marxist background, really interesting. Her absence during the crisis further highlights the misaligned priorities of California's leadership. It's a troubling reminder that symbolism often takes precedence over substantive solutions. I would say that's generally the case when you're dealing with the state. Beyond the immediate failings of local leadership, California's broader wildfire and water mismanagement policies also bear significant responsibility. The state's been criticized for years for its inadequate wildfire prevention strategies and water shortage infrastructure. Again, when DJ Trump can get easy shots on you, as he has repeatedly said for years, they need to manage their forests better, clear the flammable brush, increase water storage through new reservoirs. His practical proposals, however, faced opposition from environmental groups and state officials who prioritized ecological concerns over human safety. As Los Angeles continues to battle these catastrophic wildfires, the consequences of misplaced priorities, from DEI-driven recruitment policies to short-sighted environmental decisions, are painfully evident. Effective leadership means making hard choices that prioritize public safety and long-term resilience over political expediency. California's leaders would do well to remember that before they don't let the next crisis go to waste. The Telegraph, however, is still doing the orange man bad boogie. Trump blames Democrats for protecting useless fish over water for LA fires. Trump and Elon Musk, get used to hearing those words together, hit out at political rivals over the blazes, which experts have pinned on high winds and low rainfall. Again, sidebar, imagine if George Soros was doing what Elon's doing, buying votes, cozying up to the president, getting into the cabinet. But whether Brandon controls social media or social media controls the president, pretty sure that's the same difference. Returning to the California burning, these are the same experts that created the crisis. James, I kept waiting for stuff to be not true. All the protective equipment sent to Ukraine, immigrants caught setting the fires, all those clips, I played all the corporate media shows, the fire department lesbian saying, well, people might worry I can't carry you out of a fire, but I'd say maybe you shouldn't have gotten yourself into a situation. So it's your fault if your house happens to catch on fire by, I don't know, weird corrupt electricity companies. Drunks on the street blaming all the gays, James. I played all of these clips on my morning show Monday. I think it makes for a pretty great episode. It is a great resource of a lot of these links, a lot of the different things, the theories, the controversies, the realities. January 13th, 2025. As GetWokeUp.com said, burning down Diversity Boulevard. James?
All right. Well, James, I will have to confess I haven't been keeping a close eye on all of this because I have been busy preparing the fake news awards. But I will just say that I have seen the headlines floating through the RSS feeds that I'm following about how this is not about climate change. It's about land management practices. So on that note, I will direct people back to my February 2020 conversation with Joe Nova on the Australian bushfires. Remember when that was ravaging Australia and people were screaming, climate change, climate change? No, it was improper malpractices when it comes to land management. So I think there may be some whiff of that in this story. But I will also relate an email I just got in from a listener, Tim, who said that who was bemoaning the sort of vague suspicions of some sort of vague conspiracy in the conspiracy media. Meanwhile, he says, State Farm Insurance canceled property fire policies in the area here a few months ago. Coincidence? Elite conspiracy? What does an insurance company do best but assess risk? State Farm measures data. Its assessors know nothing that the state of California and LA and Ventura counties don't know, viz. Risky conditions and inevitability of such devastating fires, etc. And while the former is compelled to act in its stakeholders' interests, cancel high-risk policies, the latter are compelled to act against the interest of the populace, in the interests of stakeholders, the elites and manipulators. Hence, the lackey class takes no action. Incompetence, culture war grift pandering, and good old-fashioned corruption are key to the political and administrative mission. But it seems disingenuous and tiresome to simply call it some grand vague conspiracy. How did State Farm know and not drill down? So, on that note, yes, for any would-be investigators out there in independent media space who want to take this up, here is a lead, and I'll throw in a Newsweek article on this subject if you want to start there. California insurer canceled policies months before Los Angeles wildfires. But of course, the excuse is, well, because of course we know it's dangerous there, so that's why we canceled them all. Anyway, I will just throw in the Media Monarchy related note that other than Pacific Palisades and Calabasas, the zip code with the most cancellations of policies was 90210. And next, well, let's just say I hope that the Fresh Prince and Uncle Phil were able to get some new coverage together. So anyway, have at it, folks.
Yeah, next on Melrose Place. Jeez, again, as I often say, and I find I have to say it more and more to family when I'm just being seemingly cold and callous, is like, we laugh to not cry. Otherwise, we'd all just be crying all the time over a lot of these things. I think I see the Luigi bat signal in the sky, James.
Hey, yay, yay.
But again, don't think for a second that Elon and one of his scam companies won't be there to build the maglev trains where the fires exactly hit out where they want to build all this new transit systems. I've seen some of the same diagrams on those Australian bushfires, James. It's like, oh, well, we were needing to build the 15-minute cities. Also tying into all of this, James, sidebar, not related, but totally related, the Israeli-Gaza ceasefire days before Trump Part 2 really gives me Reagan hostage inauguration stunt kind of feels. And we'll include a link on that. That's how we get going. Whew, on New World Next Week, episode 577. But speaking of man-made climate change, National Review prevails against Michael Mann. The D.C., that is the District of Criminals, Superior Court granted National Review's motion. That's the magazine, right, James? That's the CIA, William F. Buckley, conservative... Yeah, okay. The D.C. Superior Court granted National Review magazine's motion... I'm sure they're more a website than a magazine, to dismiss climate scientist Michael Mann's long-running defamation suit. More than 8 years ago, Mann launched that suit against National Review, writing privately that he saw it as an opportunity to ruin this filthy organization. The lawsuit stemmed from a blog post on The Corner by Mark Stain back in 2012 criticizing Michael Mann's work. The climate scientist threatened a lawsuit unless National Review removed the offending post and apologized, both of which it refused to do. Mann then sued National Review, Stain, and the Competitive Enterprise Institute, who Stein had quoted in that post. National Review maintained from the beginning that the post isn't defamatory, but is protected in opinion, and besides that, we didn't even check any of that crap. There's no way NR could have had malice when the post wasn't reviewed ahead of time and was posted by a non-employee. So that sounds like a perfect, oh, it was the private military contractors stacking those naked prisoners. The court accepted the latter argument, meaning the suit still stands against Stain and CEI. It's completely ridiculous that it took us more than 8 years to get relief from the courts for this utterly meritless lawsuit, said National Review editor-in-chief Rich Lowry, and outrageous that Mann is still going to be allowed to harass Stain and CEI. Mann may well appeal this ruling while National Review has the option of seeking attorney fees from Mann. It has already cost National Review millions of dollars to defend against the litigation, so they probably want to claw that back. Let's just say if I were him, I'd be very worried about this possibility, Lowry said. National Review prevails against Michael Mann. James, I think I understand the story a little more now that I recall that this is, again, this is William F. Buckley. This is the literal CIA running the conservatives. James?
Right. Okay. So, mea culpa. I realize now that I sent you the link to the background article on all of this, rather than the update, which is what I meant to send, which is, pay up, Mr. Mann. So, what you read was the court order from a few years ago when they took National Review off of the Mann defamation case. If people don't know about this, basically Mark Stain or Stein, I can never remember how it's pronounced, but anyway... he wrote a blog post in 2012 that was posted up to his climate corner or whatever he called it on the National Review site back in 2012 that defamed Michael Mann, basically criticized him. Michael Mann got his fifis hurt and demanded that they retract this and issue an apology. National Review wouldn't do it. So he sued them. He sued Stein. He sued everyone involved with this. But National Review managed to get themselves taken off it by saying, hey, it was Stein, it's his thing, we didn't look at it beforehand, we knew nothing about it. So basically Mann proceeded to sue Stein. And people might remember, last year, the court awarded Mann $1 million in damages from Stein's blog post, which was probably read by like 1,000 people or something like that at the time. Anyway... absolute insanity, absolute craziness. But the follow-up here, pay up, Mr. Mann. This week, a court in our nation's capital ordered Mann to pay us, that is the National Review, $530,820.21 worth of attorney's fees and costs, and to do so within 30 days. It is time for him to get out his checkbook and sign on the dotted line. And for people who have been following not only this case, but all of the Michael Mann suing people for defamation and all of this craziness over the past decade, nearly two decades now, Tim Ball and others hounded to his grave by Michael Mann through the court system, etc. This is not really justice, but it's something. At the very least, the court has ordered Mann to pay $500,000 for this frivolous suit that he brought against the National Review. Stein's still on the hook for $1 million. He's appealing that, etc., etc. If people want the whole story for this, I guarantee you it is a fascinating story. I talked about it in a Solutions Watch on niche casting, where I pointed to the Climate Change on Trial podcast, which every single day of the Mark Stein trial was just summarizing what happened at the trial that day. It is a fascinating story with all these twists and turns. You get to the end and you're like, there's no way the jury will find Stein guilty. And they found Stein guilty and $1 million of damages. It's just a wild, crazy story. But anyway, here's the sort of follow-up to it. But I think this is actually just one of a series of stories that does point to something that I was pointing out at the end of last year. I think there is at the moment, and whether it's because of, you know, Trump and shift to the right and populism or whatever it is, but there is a change that is taking place in the greeny, the world is ending climate change zeitgeist at the moment, which is reflected not only in the fact that all six of the big six U.S. banks have now left the Net Zero Banking Alliance, but now, just the latest, BlackRock leaves major climate group amid Wall Street exodus. So that, at the very least, all of the banks, BlackRock, all of these bigwigs are pulling out of the net zero stuff. So, you know, oh, we have nothing to do with that. ESG, no, that's not us. We have nothing to do with that, guys. Don't sue us. Don't sue us. Which, people will be skeptical and say, well, they're probably going to just do it behind the scenes, which is probably true. But it still means we are winning in the court of public opinion, which is an important victory. And I will throw in one more, From Idealism to Realism, which was posted on the Roger Pilkey Jr. Substack. Mike Holm, professor of human geography at Cambridge University, coming out by saying he's gone from being a climate alarmist to a climate realist. Not quite in the way that we would want of him, acknowledging the reality that this science is a lot shakier than they try to pretend, but at least saying the geopolitical reality is China and India and others don't care anything about these pretenses, and they're going to continue doing what they're doing, and they're going to become economic juggernauts while, the, you know, essentially the West is hobbling itself. So it's an interesting read at any rate. And as I say, part of this whole turnaround, complete sea change in public opinion that's taking place on this issue right now, that I think it's important, and I think it signals not the end, but maybe the beginning of the end of at least this phase of the neo-Malthusian agenda that's been foisted on us for decades now.
And isn't it interesting, in a related note, how the newly masculine Mark Zuckerberg is removing all those pesky DEI policies from Facebook? So again, whether they're telling them to do it or they're telling, still the same end result. Also, James, what you're telling me is I'll read whatever, anything you put in front of me. Go F yourself, San Diego. Our third and final story on this New World next week. So, sorry, San Diego. UK unveils national AI plan for change. Grabbing this from biometricupdate.com, a pretty fantastic site. And again, everything we say is always sourced and cited down in the show notes. If you can't even share these episodes with your family and friends because they're too weird, just, again, hit up some of the links. And you can find mainstream outlets saying pretty conspiratorial things about the California wildfires, at least in this case. Britain's new leader has pinned his hopes on AI to deliver national renewal in a newly announced plan, not to be confused with the National Review. Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer unveiled an AI-driven plan for change. Maybe there's some hope in there, too. To drive economic growth and boost living standards, the UK government takes forward all 50 recommendations from the AI Opportunities Action Plan in a decade of national renewal, with £14 billion, that is 17 billion American bucks of investment committed by leading private tech firms, your new technocratic overlords. These include Vantage Data Centers, Nscale, and Kyndryl. Artificial intelligence will drive incredible change in this country. You're right there, Starmer. But the AI industry needs a government that's on their side, one that won't sit back and let opportunity slip through their fingers. Crisis. Successive British governments have faced flagging productivity levels, but the Labour leadership has placed greater urgency on boosting the metric as a way to grow the economy. Again, James, you could change some of the names, change some of the faces, and it's, as you're saying, this same operation. Well, we maybe oversold this whole DEI inclusion thing, so we'll dial it back a little bit. But don't worry, our World Economic Forum technocrats like Elon Musk and Tulsi Gabbard, they'll have their hands on the controls. Don't worry. Starmer's approval plan will see the creation of dedicated AI growth zones to speed up planning for AI infrastructure using AI to reduce admin for the public sector. I'm sorry, your insurance claim has been denied. And increased funding for leading private tech firms. Increased funding for private tech firms. Starmer has positioned the UK as a unique place that learns from the US and the EU's approach. The latter also identify tech investment as a way to boost lagging productivity and economic competitiveness in a seminal report published last September. We must move fast and take action to win the global race, Starmer said, quite frighteningly. Our plan will make Britain the world leader. That means more jobs and investment in the UK, more money in people's pockets, and transformed public services. You bet your sweet bippy. Google DeepMind's Sir Demi Hassabis was named as someone who will provide expertise to the UK government on AI opportunities, while your poor, beleaguered National Health Service that's just going to crumble every year is somehow cited as an example where AI is already delivering smarter care. As part of the plan for change, the creation of an AI energy council to understand the energy demands needed by the technology and to support the goal of clean energy development. James, a ton of relateds on this story, just the UK government's own horse's mouth, AI Opportunities Action Plan, and from, yes, the aforementioned World Economic Forum. Technology convergence is leading the way for the fifth industrial revolution. And what do you know, Tony Blair says digital ID is the, what's the hip word, disruption that the UK desperately needs. And right here back in the States, I mean, he's still got like 4 days to completely ruin anything else. Brandon opens federal land to power-hungry AI data centers. Now, James, I will admit, I have been using for my album art, my cover art of my shows, I've been using Ideogram AI just to make goofy-ass covers of my... I find it a little, it's almost kind of an experiment in some ways, just kind of messing with it. Is that how they get you? Am I tiptoeing into the totalitarianism?
Yes, but, I mean, let's put it this way. For every person who sits out on all of this technology for purity reasons, there will be 10,000 people who don't, who will come in and eat their lunch because it is cheaper, easier, faster. You can do exactly whatever you want instantaneously. Hey, here's this magic thing that'll do exactly what you want. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way and it'll take time and effort and energy and money that you don't have. Which are you going to do? I mean, of course, people are going to use the technology. It exists. People are going to use it. So... It does raise the question, the specter, and if people are out there willing to support, hey, I know this creator out here is not using any of these AI tools, so I'm going to support them, even though they put out less, and it's less entertaining or whatever. I don't know. We'll find out how this all washes out in the mix. So. But having said that, this does line up with what I said in my 2025 predictions article that I just released. My sure bet, 100% guaranteed, or your money back prediction for 2025 was, this is the year of AI or AI hype. Take your pick. And you might say, well, 2024 was the year of AI hype. No, you have seen nothing yet. You cannot imagine what is coming. And I say this because I'm not even looking for these stories, but I see a million AI stories per day in my news feeds. It is all over the place right now. So my only reaction to the UK announcement is, what took you guys? I mean, every other country on the planet is already announcing their AI strategies. Biden, of course, put out his national security memorandum, whatever, in November. You know, the Chinese have their plan, etc., etc. Everyone is doing it. And it does raise the real question of what on earth can the average person do as these governments are putting the resources of entire security, national security states behind the development of AI weaponry that we can barely even imagine. And it does raise the specter of, well, you're going to need your own AI agent to protect you from the other AI that's out there, right? And it becomes the AI arms race. Anyway, we're in for some crazy wild stuff, and this is really, really only the beginning of the edge of that precipice that we are about to hurtle down, and I think few people can even appreciate just how crazy things are about to get.
James, in the past, I have used real live art made by real live artists. Fantastic stuff by my buddy David, by Wade, Media Monarchy members who were working with me. Again, I'm on the air 5 days a week, 5 covers a week. I've enjoyed the experiment of messing with just, again, I'm using a platform called Ideogram. The fun thing I run into is, of course, Media Monarchy is for adults only. My words, I try and put in where it's like, I don't think I'm going to let you use that word. And so I keep dumbing it down to see if it'll finally go. It wouldn't let me use the word weed last night in making the cover art for today. So, yeah, if that gives you any idea. Yeah, weed.
Was it just the word weed itself, or was it in a specific context of weed?
What I've been doing these last couple of weeks, you listen to my morning show, I appreciate that, buddy. I do a little blurb, I have a little blah, like here's all the stuff that's coming up on the episode. I've been using the three main story blurbs as my prompt to see what it'll do, to see what I can maybe get away with. But yeah, anything about Orange Man or, you know, weed or Luigi or those things, well, it'll all kind of get smacked down. Interestingly enough, Adobe, who of course forces me to give them money every single month instead of, you know, I could buy a product and own it forever, theirs is terrible, man. And I even, like I said, I was like, I even give you guys money and your thing sucks, so I'm using this free one. So I've enjoyed messing with it, and again, just getting the, like, I'm sorry, James, but I'm afraid I can't let you use offensive words like that. So I'll keep testing it and see what I can do. That is New World Next Week, episode 577. A lot of important news going on. And we run newworldnextweek.com. DVDs, USBs, hats, hoodies, t-shirts, all organic, and all support our work and keep us ad-free. And remember, exclusive audio of these very New World Next Week episodes after my Thursday morning show. They have not been published anywhere. Only me and James and Brock have heard them. That is 10 a.m. Mountain Time at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. James, my main final question for you. Who is going to win the coveted James E. Pilato Lifetime Underachievement Award at the upcoming Dinos?
And the winner is James Evan Pilato. I don't know.
What's your you got an ETA on that?
Not a hard one, but it'll be by the end of the month. We'll put it that way.
Okay. Well, and luckily, you know, and this is, I think, probably why you schedule it this way, all the award shows, all the big Super Bowls, all this crap is always at the beginning of the year in America. Because of the recent tragic events in California, they've kind of pushed back some of the Grammy, some of the Oscar stuff, and are dialing it down. So that probably buys you a little bit of time, and you'll be able to drop it right in the middle of their faces.
An interesting sentence out of context.
There's 577, man. I appreciate you.
Excellent. All right. And let's direct him to Media Monarchy. Let's direct him to New World next week, and we'll do it again next week. Talk to you then.
Take care, man.